two village idiots with a love-hate relationship.
See, you got fat.
See, you still look like a 15-year-old girl, but not hot.
Who can't stop arguing over Oklahoma sports.
You know what, man? Why am I still talking to you?
Come on, we were doing good there, man.
It's the Just Okay Sports Podcast.
Sooner Nation, Thunder Nation, we are back. This is the Just Okay Sports Podcast. I'm one of your village idiots, Daryl. I'm here with my brother, Jared. And we would love for you to like and subscribe and leave a five-star review, leave comments, all the good things. We would be oh so grateful if you would. This is not a podcast that you have to subscribe to. We don't have a website with a paywall. We don't ask for your subscription. We are simply fans of all things Oklahoma sports. And we share our opinions and thoughts and hopefully get some interviews every once in a while. So that's who we are, Jared. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Got back from the trip. Had a blast, by the way. It was a great time.
What a trip. And by the way, for those that are new to the podcast, you know, we have so many new listeners each and every week. We had a belated birthday trip for myself, me, you, our friend Tyler Smith and our dad all went to Vegas for March Madness, and it was a blast. Sorry, you may proceed, sir.
I'm not saying that I put money on Duquesne, but I did put money on Duquesne, so that was pretty neat.
Dude, if you would have been posting like what you were doing from the sports betting world, I think you could have created your own website with subscriptions for people to ask your advice.
Yeah, let's see. I had money on Duke. I did put money on Longwood to beat Houston. So let's not act like I'm a prophet here, because that game was like 100-40. No, it was a lot of fun. So, but kind of like had like a day and a half, I guess, to kind of reset. That was It's a long flight from Florida to Vegas.
Yeah, that is.
And I didn't even think about it until like we were getting ready to go. That I'm like, it's literally pretty much all the way across the country. Like it's only like maybe another 30 or 40 minutes worth of flight literally in California. but yeah, it wasn't too bad. The one thing that did suck is lost my AirPods, or I didn't lose them, but I left them in the hotel room.
Yes. Which I was going to tell you, I did find out they have a phone line for lost and found. You should call and see if, those were,
So being on a plane without earbuds or any kind of like ear thing was terrible. I wanted to jump out of the plane at certain points because it's like it was. Here's the crazy part, too. And then we'll ask how you did because people care. The way back, apparently they said we had like 150 knot tailwind.
Nice.
We literally got back 45 minutes early.
Nice.
And we landed. So what's crazy is apparently it was like a whole like nation because when we landed. Like, first of all, we got to Orlando and we just were in a holding pattern. I could tell because we were just doing circles. And then we finally landed. And then when we landed and we pulled up to the like where the gates are and stuff, there was like four other Southwest flights sitting on the tarmac waiting to get to the gate. And our pilot was like, they're supposedly gonna be pushing back soon. They're loading the last luggage on the plane or whatever, and then we'll be able to get our gates occupied right now because we were so early. And I was like, dude, how often does that happen? So my flight back was only like 3 hours and something. But yeah, so also had to spend $100 on parking because I tried to use the Sun Pass for my parking.
Yeah.
And apparently their system was down the day that I returned.
What?
So they were like, they're like, that doesn't work. They're like, you have to pay with a card. And I was like, sick. And I was like, doesn't this cost more if I do it this way? And she's like, yeah, it would be like $70 if you didn't. So I just spent an extra $30. There was nothing I could do besides she literally, you can back up and go to the garage if you want to wait for a few hours. And I was like, no, I'll just $30 to get me home, whatever.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that sucks.
But yeah, no, other than that, back to the real world, back to life and working my butt off. How are you?
Good. Same as far as just trying to get back in, but loved the trip. You know what? We spent Thursday
Starting Thursday morning at 9 a.m., we were full into March Madness from 9 a.m. until 6. So whatever that ends up being, 12, like 10 hours of just straight basketball, screens everywhere. We sat at the Aria Sportsbook and did that, and then left straight from there. Me, you, Tyler, and Dad to go to Golden Knights game, which was my first NHL game. Was it your first NHL game in person too?
That's the first one I've been to. Yeah.
So that was a blast. What a show they put on, by the way, at the game. And then we got up the next morning, Friday morning, and got to head straight over to UNLV, where a couple Okie boys in Barry Odom and Brad Odom are both on staff. Barry, the head coach, and Brad, the kind of recruiting coordinator for them. And we got to, dude, they gave us first class treatment at UNLV. It was a blast catching up with those guys, seeing how they were doing, getting to watch their practice. That was kind of their, kind of a walkthrough day. They were scrimmaging Saturday. It was going to be their first scrimmage of spring practice. So we got to watch them do that, which I thought was fascinating, just how fast paced and quick and everything they were doing. They had recruits on campus, so we got to talk to a few recruits that they had there that they were trying to recruit and talk to. And I mean, we got to see it all, man. It was really awesome. And just super cool to see those guys after so many years. And so like that, like 24, whatever you want to call it, 30-hour window of just straight sports while in Vegas was amazing. And we had one of the best steaks on planet Earth, so that was also great. So just super grateful everybody could make the trip. It was a lot of fun. I definitely don't feel like March Madness in Vegas is like going to be like my every year thing, but I could go back and do it again. I could definitely go back and check out March Madness there again.
I really wanted to, first of all, it was really funny to see Tyler and I with sheets in front of us doing math on bets and, you know, like literally, you know, over unders and everything. And you were looking at us like we were doing advanced, like from another world. So that was great.
True. That's fun.
But yeah, I would love to go back for even for like, we were talking about it. I was like, dude, I'd love to go back for like the NFL playoff, like, you know, like wild card weekend or something.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
even the NBA playoff, like just any sort of sporting thing. Cause it's like, again, OU wasn't in the tournament, and yet I was so heavily invested in so many games. It was like I was not high roll betting. Like I was like $5 bet, but I still was like, come on, you know, like, and like people were losing their freaking minds. I had so much fun. So I'm like, I told somebody, is like, somebody's like, do you sports bet a lot? And I was like, no, not really. And I said it honestly, like I didn't really spend a lot of money sports betting. But I was like, it was just fun. It was just dumb. And it was just fun to see people react, you know? So if you haven't done it, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get MGM to sponsor the podcast.
Hey, there we go. Let's go. Yeah. We'll come through and review all the different viewing parties and all that kind of stuff. So, man, it was a great time. So really, really fun. But people don't care about our Vegas adventures. So let's get into it. It's OU football and a lot happened. We take 1 week off and a lot of different things go down. I'd say the biggest of all was all the rumors swirling around DeMarco Murray. I know several other podcasts have already talked about this, brought this up, all those kinds of things. But I think we still need to discuss it. And that is, the rumor was he was staying, then it was he was going to Ohio State. And then all of a sudden it got reported by On3 on Twitter, I think like as we landed actually in Vegas, that he got a 3-year contract and a bigger payday for him. If you have not had a chance to listen to some other podcasts and things, look, number one, I think it's crazy to say that it's just, you can't even consider going to Ohio State. It's Ohio State. Right. Like if they offer you a job, you consider that job. Two, I did not realize his wife is from Cleveland. So there was a little bit of a homecoming vibe there as well with all of it. And look, let's not be, you know, dumb. Money helps. Right. When you're considering a job, and it was a very lofty pay raise that he was offered. And luckily, OU matched. But I think it's a great thing that DeMarco stays.
Yeah, I mean, it was a you know, rough few hours when all that was transpiring, I think, or, you know, rough day. Because I think him staying on staff, while I don't think it's the most important staff retention of the staff, it's pretty freaking important, too.
Yes.
And just having that continuity, and he has so many, you know, I don't know. I feel like DeMarco's kind of somewhat, I feel like people feel about him kind of like, how do I say it? They're a little bit indifferent about him. You know, like, mm-hmm. I know like his recruiting has been pretty good, but then it's like the development side is like, we still don't really know outside of Eric Gray. It's kind of like, who has he made that's been a consistent top tier guy? Like, who have you had, like a Kennedy Brooks Mixon or whatever? Like, you have guys that have the athletic ability, but you haven't had anybody that's that consistent. So, but yeah, glad to see him stay. And like I said, you can't turn that down. I don't know. Like, I even saw people like on Twitter that were like, I can't believe he would consider leaving. And I'm like, bro, like, really? If somebody offers you a ton of money to go to a top tier program, even if you're at a top tier program,
yeah,
it's more money than what you're making now. I don't know why you would not entertain it.
Yeah.
So I really have no fault. I don't fault DeMarco at all on how it was handled. So I'm excited that he's staying though.
Yeah. And again, and when you add the wife perspective of that's her home state, right? Like, right. you got to consider that. Like, I'm going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars more. Now, we're not talking a $30,000 raise. We're talking like a $125,000 raise. Like, it was a big, big raise. That ain't money that you just turn away. And again, when it's closer to family. So again, I think that, but what I found, one of the thoughts that took me to Jared was, I think we could both agree that 2 years into the Brent Venables experience, we are still hopeful and we still believe and we like what we see, but it has not been what we anticipated. Is that fair to say, right? It's been a little disappointing to see what this team's put together through two seasons.
Yeah, I guess sort of in a way. Yeah. I mean, the standard at OU is what it is. Right.
Right.
I get that, but I also don't think like, I don't think it's realistic for us to, with everything that transpired, to expect that to be what's happened over the last two seasons.
Yeah. And I mean, look, big jump year two, but even year two, I mean, Kansas loss and Oklahoma State. I mean, there were just some losses in there that you're kind of like, what? Like, what are we doing? Right. Like, this ain't the standard. But here's what I find interesting. I think it's pretty clear that BV knows how to build a staff. So regardless of the results on the fields, wins, losses, all that stuff, let's just run it down. Phil Loenholt was hired as an analyst, his first analyst job ever at OU. Now he's the offensive line coach at Colorado. Matt Wells, who obviously had some head coaching experience in the past, but after one season gets snatched up as an OC and quarterback coach for Kansas State. Levy moves on from offensive coordinator to head coach, which, by the way, head coach under an athletic director that was here when that hiring process took place for Levy to be the offensive coordinator. DeMarco Murray was offered at least two NFL jobs, we know, this offseason. Now Ohio State comes calling, trying to get him away from here. We know that Todd Bates was offered jobs by Alabama in the offseason, as well as by at least one NFL team so far this offseason. And even Ted Roof, who I think most OU fans don't have a good opinion of, the day he basically announced that he was gone from OU, he was snatched up and hired almost immediately, right? So all that to say, like, I think we have a really good coaching staff. And I know that we've always said that, but that's not just an OU opinion thing now. I think we have a paper trail, if you will, to show that this really is a good staff, which again is one of the things that gives me hope for going into the SEC and being a good program moving forward, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you look at it, I think what OU fans are going to have to grasp, and this is going to be a very telling season for this, is the trajectory OU is on, right? Like, even if you want to look at Lincoln Riley's last year at OU, there's a pretty sharp drop, right? That you could see coming. And obviously, really, like, Brent coming in kind of just had to deal with that drop. There was just too much momentum downwards. So to see an upwards tick, it's like, if they can go out, I don't think they're going to go out and win the SEC, right? However, if they can come out and compete in the SEC and they win like we've talked about, 9-10 games playing in the SEC. It's like these things are going to keep happening, and that's what coaching staffs are seeing. That's why all these people are getting snatched up, because it's the trajectory that you're on.
You're right.
Like if you wait, if they're waiting to snag somebody up when OU's on top, that's going to be a harder courtship than OU's on the way up, but still has places to go. Right. But yeah, I mean, like it makes you happy to see, because I feel like Lincoln, there wasn't nearly as much movement with that, at least as diversely as there was under Bob. And then now under BV, it's like BV's already had so many people that have moved on.
And have
taken big positions. So it's good to see, but I think that it's just like, again, I think it speaks to the culture. I think it speaks to the thing that Brent's building. So hopefully that's where we keep going.
Yeah, totally agree.
It's weird to say if you keep losing people, it's a good sign.
No, but I mean, look, man, like look at Alabama, look at Georgia. Like you go through that staff list from this year to last year to the year before, it's almost completely different, right? And that's because when you're killing it, everybody wants your people, and they're going to do whatever they have to get those people and give them promotions and all the different things. So I agree with you. I think it's a huge thing. The other weird thing that happened while we were in Vegas in the middle of everything is we found out who our road and home games are in 2025. Was a very odd thing, right? Like the 2024 schedule was its own, like a whole like day that they built up for 2 months, and here comes the 2024 schedule, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it was just a Twitter drop. Here's our schedule, home and away, 2025. I found that a little bit odd, but if you have not seen this, home games in 2025 will be Illinois State, Kent State, Michigan, Auburn, LSU, Old Miss and Missouri will be your home games, which that's a pretty legit home slate, I think it's fair to say. The road games that you have, true road games, are Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Temple, right? Temple being your non-conference game, obviously, there. And then you have a neutral site game with Texas. So, you know, while the schedule is daunting and it really is just a flip-flop, right? Like it's basically your home and away. And I think maybe that's one reason they didn't make a big deal out of it, is they really just took the 24 schedule and flipped home and away games around and sent it out. So maybe they'll do it again when they mix everything up. Who knows? But at the same time, if you haven't been noticing, there's some lawsuits going on with certain conferences. This could all change here in another year or so. But anyways, anything stand out to you about schedule really at all?
I'm going to have to save up some money for 2025 because, like, literally, I mean, Tennessee's fairly far. Carolina's probably a 7. Like, I can look at all these games and I'm like, it'd be great to, in 1 year, to be able to go see Bama and Tennessee Bama and South Carolina at their house.
Yeah.
In the same year would be pretty sick.
That'd be pretty awesome.
So, and I would love to go back to Tennessee. Tennessee was, you know, I was there for the 2015 or 16 or whatever year that was, game. And just honestly, you know, shout out to the fans. Tennessee fans were really, really welcoming and really, really friendly. And that environment, if you've never been, I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, you cannot hold a candle to what Neyland Stadium is. That place is wild. I mean, crazy. So absolutely. I mean, I'm excited. You know, it is going to be interesting. Like, you look at Michigan on that list.
Yeah.
And you're like, is that going to be a big game? Is it not going to be a big game? You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Michigan's, I think you could say the same thing about Ole Miss, Missouri, and even LSU for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, there's a lot of this. Like, 2025 is either, I mean, it's just so wild. Like, that's going to be, there's so much chaos right now. It was really funny on the plane to Vegas. I was talking to a guy from Michigan, and we were kind of talking about how the transfer portal has made. That's what's funny. The way there had a Michigan fan next to me, and the way back had a Georgia fan sitting next to me. And we both actually kind of had the same conversation about the transfer portal amongst that, and then just like so many coaching changes in the NFL, and things like, it's like, dude, the next couple of years in the NFL or in college football could be just wild with all the movement that's happening.
Oh, goodness, yeah. I mean, again, we don't know what Michigan's going to be under Sherrone Moore. I mean, obviously, we think he's got good potential, all those different things. What's going to happen at South Carolina with Beamer? I mean, if Beamer has another season like he's had, he may not even be there in 2025, right? Like, Ole Miss has kind of pushed all their chips in this transfer portal run. What happens if that blows up, right, and becomes another A&M 2.0? What does that mean for Lane Kiffin? What does that mean for the staff? Mizzou, I'm still not sure what to think about them. It's just
Bama.
Bama with new coaching staff. Who knows what that's going to be? Now, I will say this, like you said, if you have the opportunity to go to the Tennessee game, go. Like, and I haven't been there, but like, it's obvious that's an incredible crowd. And I'd say the same as South Carolina. Like, if you don't, let's be real, the Bama ticket's going to be absurdly expensive, right? And then going on the road, all the different things. You want a road game that may not cost you a ton on the ticket, but the atmosphere is legit. South Carolina might be it. Not to mention, I've never really been there, but the photos of South Carolina look incredible. It seems like just a beautiful place to go see. Pretty cool road slate and an incredible home slate, regardless if Michigan's good or not. This is one of the reasons that you made the move to the SEC, right? Are these kinds of games at home and on the road. So it's just spectacular.
I mean, I let's just talk about it real quick, just to compare the former Big 12. Who were you excited about last year to go play? Texas and maybe Oklahoma State?
Yeah, just because of rivalry. Was nothing about going to Oklahoma State that jazzed me up other than it's Oklahoma State, and I hope that we beat them, and obviously it didn't go way, I mean, but that's it.
But, like, I have to, like, admit, too, at the same time, it's like when I look at it, there's no other place on the schedule that I can think of that just was, like, I was dying to go to.
Uh-uh. No.
Like
BYU, like, just for the sake of seeing the mountains in the background.
Yeah, but, I mean, I went to the UCF OSU game and it was fun, but it's like, I mean, there's just nowhere that, like, I feel like would be worth a drive, right, is what I'd say. Like, some of those games were really good, like going to Baylor. Like, if you're in Waco, okay, whatever. But even driving to Waco from Oklahoma, it's like, bro, I don't know that that's worth it.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, so now it's like, dude, I look at the schedule and it's like, legitimately, if I could go to any of those SEC games, I would.
Yeah, and I think that that's the way that it is now. Like, I think there's a lot of fans going, what two road games am I going to try to go hit this year? As opposed to just the super diehards that are the only ones going from game to game, or the parents or whatever. So it's an incredible setup, man. It's a credible future for OU. It should be awesome. So speaking of the future, I thought we'd discuss a few. There's been some Twitter highlighting that's been put out there.
The social media that is OU has been on fire lately.
Yes, it has. And quite the dime dropped by Jackson Arnold to Bauer Sharp in one of the highlights, which, number one, great hands by Bauer Sharp. Number two, an absolute dot from Jackson Arnold rolling to his left and letting it fly. And I mean, look, Woody Washington's in coverage on the play, and it ain't bad coverage.
You know what's funny? I need to go back and look. I'm pretty sure there's at least two that I've seen Bauer Sharp be a highlight.
Yes.
In their clips now. And I think it may be three.
Yes.
Bauer Sharp, I mean, I know it's spring ball. I'm not trying to
be
overhyped or hyperbolic, but the dude might be a problem.
Yes. I mean, I think as of today, unless something drastic changes, Bauer Sharp's going to be your starting tight end, period. Now, Davin Mitchell is making plays for everybody that's freaking out because we got this five-star kid, and where is he at? But, I mean, Bauer Sharp's just a grown man. I mean, he's a junior, a senior already.
He's more in the vein, too. Like, I don't want to draw this comparison too much, but it's – to me, it's like he's a, I don't want to say a poor man's version. The biggest comparison I guess I'll draw is to Brock Bowers. Like, he's got that little, like, the few clips that I've seen, he's got, like, the hands, and he's not nearly as, like, like Brock Bowers is freaky movie. Like, just the dude can just move right for somebody his size. I don't think he's that, but he's pretty good. He's pretty good. I think we say he's pretty good.
I'm not going near that far. I think that Brock Bauer is a, he appears to be a slightly, maybe probably a little slightly more fluid with that weight, than Braden Willis to me. Like,
yeah,
but I think he's a little more fluid. I think that Braden Willis was a great athlete, but I think packing on so much weight for him really kind of took some of his athleticism away from him. And it seems as though, you know, Bauer Sharp just kind of really runs with that weight really, really well. Not to mention, he's a former quarterback, so he kind of gets everything. Now, the other thing that was interesting in this highlight, because I'm a degenerate and slow everything down, you have Woody Washington in coverage. You have Danny Stutzman on the field in the clip. You have Kip Lewis on the field in the clip, which would lead you to believe, right, with Jackson Arnold out there and all those people, it's one versus one. Okay? So we also got to see that Jake Taylor is playing at right tackle with the ones right now. I thought that was very interesting. We definitely saw Woody Washington at safety. So we got a few little indications of who they're looking at in some spots as well. Just through that one little highlight, which is pretty awesome. Now, I'm curious. I wanted to ask you this question. It has been reported for a couple weeks now and kind of been known that Woody Washington coming back to OU, that part of the discussion and him returning was him playing safety. Because him translating to the NFL, he's more of a safety type guy than he is a corner, right? Does this concern you? And what I mean by that is this. In my mind, before Woody came back, announced he was coming back, in my mind it was, hey, next year, it's the Killer Bees. It's Billy Bowman and it's Peyton Bowen going nuts with RSJ in there somewhere, right? It feels like that might not be the case and that it might be Billy Bowman and Woody Washington with RSJ and Peyton Bowen sitting down. Does this worry you as far as those guys becoming disgruntled? And also, does it worry you at all about just their growth from not being on the field very much?
No, not really. I mean, yeah, I think it's something that's going to be managed, and I don't think... I mean, look at Venable's resume, right? Look at his track record with like safeties and corners. Those guys are going to rotate around a lot. Like he's a lot more fluid. Let me put it this way. He's a lot more fluid with secondary than a lot of coaches are, right? Just because you're listed on the depth chart as a safety doesn't mean you're necessarily even going to play safety for a drive, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there's still some room for guys to get on the field. I think that maybe, and I honestly, with, like I said, with the culture that he's built and stuff, I think that there's a lot of buy-in. I think if you were going to see that issue, I'm sure that there's frustration, but I think, like, you know, we talked about this last season. We talked about it in this off season, how guys are talking about how they just want to compete. Like the mentality of the team is so much different than it was under Lincoln. Under Lincoln, this would be a problem. Right. Under Lincoln, these guys, Peyton Bowen and RSJ, would be saying, I'm going to hit the portal, coach.
Yeah.
And that may still happen. Don't let me lead you astray. But I just don't feel that that's nearly as likely with the culture that's been built.
Yeah. And to your point, we kind of had this in here and we're going to talk about it. But just tonight, they had some more post game or post practice interviews. And I did find it interesting, both RSJ and Peyton Bowen both saying, we were doing all we could to get Billy to come back. They were both kind of asked, like, how did you feel about that? Like, were you kind of bummed? You know, like, Peyton Bowen was kind of more or less asked, like, did that bum you out to know that you were? And he said, dude, I'm not ready to lead this room. Which I thought was just an incredibly humble thing to say, right? And just very... That RSJ, the same. Oh, I was trying to get Billy back every day. He's like, dude, I ain't ready to be an old head yet. Like, I ain't an old head. He's like, I'm not that guy. And so both of them just kind of grasping that, getting that. I thought was really interesting, you know, and you've heard a lot of that. And if you listen to all the interviews, which by the way, Sooner Scoop Editorial does a great job on YouTube of posting those, so you can see them. But the amount of guys saying, yeah, my injury last year kept me from playing, or I didn't have my weight where I needed it, so I didn't get to play as much. But my guys, I was rooting for my guys. I wanted my guys to do well. You know, Justin Harrington talking about that. I'm still happy for these. Javonte Barnes. Dude, I still got to get my stuff right, and I got to be happy for Gavin, and I got to be happy for Talwee, because that's what a teammate does. Like, there's just a lot of that kind of talk on their own. And again, the culture you're seeing built is pretty stinking impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I really, like I said, the culture is great. And to hear a guy like Bowen, I mean, Bowen has been that guy that's made plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were raving about it last year. And I mean, he's made, there's been times that I thought there's spots in games that I thought he played better than pretty much everybody else in the, yes, in that room. So, yeah, to hear him say that is big. But I mean, I think it's one of those things that, again, it's the difference in culture. And I think those are the things that you want to see to start paying dividends, right?
Some other news that came out this week, again, through all these interviews. Barnes in his post-practice interview, I think we all agreed we just did not know what was going on with him, right? Like, early on, it was like, I think he's still hurt. I think he's still coming back from injury. But then they would put him in, right, in a game for like two plays and then just yank him and you'd never see him again, right? So that whole season last year, we were just like, what is going on with Javonte Barnes? Like, I do not understand. And he even said, he goes, he tried to rush himself back from injury and said that multiple times through the season, he would practice, feel great through the week, and feel really good through the practice time. And then when it came to game time, he just didn't have it. Like, something was off. So I don't know if that's a mental thing. I don't know if it's a physical thing or what. He seems to think he's good now. But I thought it was good for him to talk about that, because I think all of us were just like, I don't understand what's happening with our running back rotation last year. I felt like that was a big question that kept getting put out there.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a lot. You know, I mean, we had questions about Barnes. We had questions about Caleb Hicks. We had questions about a lot of guys, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw Caleb Hicks posted a picture of him when he was doing
a hurdle.
Yeah, that dude's.
Yeah. Dude, Teddy, Gabe, George Stoya, Eddie Redondo. I mean, everybody that's seen practice says, dude, if he is not fully a part of this offense, we don't understand what's going on. Like,
yeah,
he is the most impressive guy all around by every single person that walks out to practice.
He's just, yeah, and he's just built like a, I don't know, but Barnes is, like I said, Barnes was another question mark. So I think to hear that clarifies a little bit. And hopefully with the off season, we talked about that. I mean, this is an off season that's very, like, I think people need to understand this off season is probably the most important of Brent Venables' career at OU. Cause you have a lot of guys. You have even Danny Stutzman, who was a little banged up at times. You had Billy Bone. I mean, literally you go through and you look at your top five players, probably. I don't know if it's top five, but you had however many of your top players, a lot of them had nagging injuries throughout the year.
Yeah.
So getting them recouped and getting them, you know, to balance that, getting them recouped and getting them really prepared for the season is just so huge. So I'm excited to see how that turns out. I mean, I want to see Javonte Barnes. Like I said, I was at the Cheez-It Bowl or whatever. And dude, I mean, it's just, even in that game, it's like, bro, like, if he can do this,
yeah,
you know, him and Sawchuk are just a great 1-2 punch. And if you throw Caleb Hicks in there,
dude,
we're not even talking about Taylor Tatum.
Right. Exactly.
We're not even talking about Tatum.
Nuh-uh.
Or Xavier Robinson.
Or, like, or, you know, the, what I mean? Like, it's, Martin kid, the UT Martin kid, yeah, that came in. That was like the D2 Heisman Trophy winner. Like, you know, and he was in one of the Twitter highlights, by the way, breaking a long run for a touchdown. So,
this running back room could be like nuts. So anyway, we'll see. It's a lot of potential, but what happens with it on the field?
Yeah, absolutely. Another great quote in the post-game practice that I thought was awesome. Grayson Halton was asked about Zach Alley and how that's going. And he goes, yeah, that's BV. That was his answer. So we keep hearing those things, but also hearing that he's different, right? That he's not nearly as intense as far as just his, you know, instant reaction of when you mess up. A lot of them talking about how he is able to communicate exactly what you did wrong and why. There was a lot of that kind of talk about Zach Alley. The other thing that came out a lot from practice notes, which I think is a positive, like today, for instance, I saw multiple people reporting BV never even was with the defense today, which shows you the trust and that he has truly let this go to Zach Alley, which I think is big. A couple other things. Jackson Arnold. I thought this was interesting. He was asked about his tight end room, that there's been a lot of additions there. He talked about Bauer Sharp, your guy who you're I can tell are all in on, right? The other name that he brought up unprompted was Josh Faneuil. I think that says something. Like, and I know that everybody is excited about Davin Mitchell. Now, we're excited about Bauer Sharp. You got Jake Roberts in here, right? I mean, you still got Caden Helms, who, if he can get healthy, we'll see what he's got. You got Cade McIntyre that I think looks like a football player. But for him to bring that name up out of that whole room and say, this is a guy that's getting it done, like, there's some kind of chemistry being built with Jackson Arnold and him, if that's the case. And so this is a name, not saying he's going to go win the tight end All-American award, but this is a guy that you need to keep an eye on and not forgets on the roster.
Well, I think, you know, we're, again, this goes back to what BB's building, where you have talent at every position, right? Yeah. And it, you know, there's quality depth. You know, there was the, you know, the whole way too deep thing and all that. Like, and it feels, and that's what's crazy about it. You're hearing this on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing is, like, when you look at Lincoln, it's like, yeah, you heard that. Like, you heard how good our running back room was, or even our quarter. Obviously, you know, like, you had a roster with Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray on it, right? Like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
But you didn't hear that on the other side of the field. It was like, man, if we lose so-and-so at linebacker, we're screwed.
Yep.
Right? And it's like, honestly, it's like, not to say there aren't some areas, like we've talked about the trenches being a big question mark for OU right now. But outside of that, it's like, when I really start to sit down and think, it's like, not to say that we want anybody to get hurt or anything, but it's like, dude, if somebody goes down, I don't feel nearly as worried as I have in the past.
Yeah.
On both sides of the ball. Like you said, I don't know. The tight end room is still a question mark because a lot of these guys haven't played in a uniform yet.
Right.
But still, you got to be excited about what they're doing, like what we're hearing out of camp.
Oh, 100%. That room is, I mean, it's crazy how fast that room turned around. I mean, in a heartbeat. But I think you could say the same for safety. I mean, kind of like you said, as far as when Lincoln was here, you had two safeties that you had to play the entire game, and you couldn't sub anyone out. You couldn't pull anyone out, all those different things. And so that's not what you want. What? You know, you want to be able to sub people in and out and work some different things in. And I mean, they have that at safety. Well, they have that at receiver and so forth, so on.
Well, I'll give you an example. This is going to trigger the entire OU fan base probably, but Buki, remember when we had to have Buki out there and it was because we had nobody else?
Yeah.
Like, you put somebody else out there and they would do even worse. So you had to keep Buki out there. You know, and those sorts of things are what you don't want to have. So, and this goes to I'll use another group that's been turned around. Even through the course of last season, I feel a whole lot better about linebacker than I did before.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Like, when Danny went down, you know, we were all like, oh man. I mean, don't get me wrong, losing Danny, who should have been freaking
an All-American finalist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have been, yeah. You know, that hurts, but it's like, dude, Kip played freaking lights out when he came in. And Kobe played lights. I mean, you literally could go through that room and say, even like as much as people have kind of railed on Jaren a little bit, Jaren Koenig, like, dude, Koenig's played pretty well overall.
Well, and he played better late in the season. I mean, he really did. Towards the end of the season, he played a whole lot better.
And again, this is my here's my way too early prediction. Jaren Koenig will make the same leap Danny Stutzman made from last year to this year, or from the year previous to this last season. Like, he's going to be Danny Stutzman 2.0. If you look at where he was, where he was this last season, he is very close to where Danny Stutzman was his first season under BB.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think this is one of those situations, like in March Madness, when you and Tyler kept putting the bets in for first to 15, and then the table behind us was going the opposite, like, deal, right? So it's not like, it's not really that you're against each other, right? You're just on opposite ends. My guy to make that leap is Kobe this year. I think that he is that guy that will make that kind of leap. Not that Jaren won't make a leap. I just think you're like, Kobe's going to be the guy we're going to walk away from this year and go, holy crap. Like, he's got
Kobe
it
is
now.
Kobe is, I want that for Kobe, honestly, because Kobe is built more like an SEC linebacker than Jaren is.
Well, and I think that's part of it, right? Is the style of the SEC, I think, is going to fit his game better. But I also, like, when I hear Teddy Lehman say the smartest linebacker in the entire linebacker room is Kobe McKenzie, I mean, that says a lot.
And we're talking about Teddy, and Teddy is
he has some
awards that might say that he's a decent linebacker.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
and when he's made those kinds of predictions and statements, they've generally worked out pretty dang good, you know.
Before we move on real quick, I just want to give you like that dream, that nugget of hope. Imagine if somehow Kip Lewis puts on 10 pounds, this even just 10 pounds, 10 to 15 pounds of weight this offseason.
He puts on 15 pounds of weight, buckle up.
I don't know how, like, you're going to fight to keep him off the field.
Yeah. Oh, he's starting, period. I don't care what his weight is, he's starting. That's a no-brainer. Now, he puts on 15 pounds. Now, number one, you are going to have a dynamic duo in Danny and him that's insane. Or you're going to actually have a linebacker rotation where they're going to do line changes with Jaren Koenig and Danny, I think, together, and Kobe and Kip together. Either way, with him 15 more pounds on with either of those combos.
Yeah.
Good luck. I mean, he will be the most instinctual playmaking linebacker in that room, hands down, above everybody, if he puts on 15, 20 pounds. Period. Yep. Period.
Hey,
he did last year.
I'm just
completely undersized.
I just, when he came in.
Yeah.
When he came in, bought the stock. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
Like, I don't even know what color I'm going to get my helicopter in when I cash that stock in. But it's going to be nice.
It's going to be really nice. Absolutely. So now there's some not so great news that's come out of camp today. Number one, and this is from our friends over at Crimson and Cream, Budberry Bob and Beer podcast as well. Andrell Anthony has had a setback with his knee injury, and there's a lot of stirring going around that he may be gone the entire season. Now, we just got done talking about how great we think the wide receiver room is. So I don't think this is like a roster killer. My bigger concern is for Andrell in this situation. If this rumor is true, I think that guy's got NFL written all over him. and he can't. I just hope and pray that this isn't some kind of situation where this lags and lingers on forever and takes his athleticism away and takes a step away from him. Because if he can come back like what he was before, this is a guy that's a first day, second day draft pick kind of guy and has a long career in the NFL.
I think people quickly forget he was really our pretty much lone dynamic playmaker. Yeah, like Farouk had some early season flashes. But really, when you go back and look, I would actually love to. Maybe we should do that for the season. I'd love back and go watch film of like those first like five or six games.
Yeah.
I think Andrell was just so good that he started drawing, like people had to start bracketing him. I mean, the dude just got open and he just made catches where you're like, oh my God. He was CeeDee Lamb 2.0.
He like, was really good.
He was really freaking good. So, yeah, I hate to say, I mean, I hate it for him. Hopefully it's something that's, you know, they can, you know, they diagnose and they can get resolved and maybe he can get back this season, or it's not as serious as we think. So, you know, really hope for the best for him. Cause I agree with you. I think the dude's a phenomenal athlete and a phenomenal receiver.
Yeah, no doubt. And then also today walking off with ice on his knee. A lot of early reports was that it might be a lot worse, but he did leave practice on his own power with ice. Is Troy Everett, who is expected to be the starting center for OU. You really hope that that's not a major situation. If that does become a major situation, obviously Josh Bates will play center. We're not really sure what that means for this team or what that will look like. But also, like, you don't know what's behind that at this point. I know that there's been some reports that Josh Iasosa is working at center, but he's a true freshman, and I would say he is more than raw in his abilities as an offensive lineman. And even talent-wise, I think he has still a ceiling to get to. I don't know how high that ceiling really is for him. So that's not an awesome situation, or you're trying to move somebody that's playing guard over to the center, right? So, both not good news, but we'll wait and see what comes of it and where that all goes moving forward. So, but not the best of news. There is good news though. It seems as though Torrey Blaylock is pretty much a lock silent commit to OU, which I thought it was funny as soon as, the news came out that DeMarco was staying. It was like 30 seconds later that he puts out a tweet that said Yamaha, which is his little catchphrase that somebody has committed. But also some people thought that meant that his job was secure at OU. That he was getting to stay, but it very much appears that Blaylock's coming in. How do you feel about this one, Jared?
I mean, again, if true, God, I mean, at recruiting, DeMarco Murray is an assassin. It's that situation again. What do we just talk about? How deep the running back room is, and how you have guys that are young. Like you have Caleb Hicks, who's a redshirt freshman.
Yep.
Right. You have the number one running back in the league the last class coming in, along with Xavier Robinson, who's got a lot of love. You got two guys that could keep playing at OU for a number of years. And you still get a top tier commit to commit to OU. Like,
yeah. Not a bad day.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And remember, if DeMarco,
he's a 2025 guy too, by the way. I mean, we're talking, he's still crazy young and he's already 5'10, 5'11, and 195 pounds. So,
well, and again, if DeMarco can produce, if say to DeMarco, we'll just as a hype, you know, as a hypothetical, say he takes Gavin Sawchuk or Javonte Barnes and turns them into a drafted running back in the league.
Yeah.
Like if he makes them develop them that well, it's like, bro, that guy is going to get, he's going to have literally the pick of who he wants. And they're going to have to keep paying him.
Yeah.
If they want to keep him, because he's going to keep having people come after him.
100%. You keep recruiting at that level and elevating their game throughout. Pretty big stuff. But that's a great, great get for 2025. It's a long way away. As many say in the Discord, 2025 is not real. But even so, that's the kind of momentum you want to have. Those are the things you want to start doing and building for the future. So lots of great stuff with OU. Scrimmage notes and all that will be coming out, I'm sure, from a bunch of different areas and insiders and even some of the folks that we have contacts through in our Discord, for that matter. So join the Discord and be a part of that as well. So let's move on to the Thunder. They've been on a pretty brutal three-game stretch here. They've had to play the Bucks, the Pelicans, and the Rockets tonight. Huge loss to the Bucks, I should say. Losing by like 21 to them. They just got annihilated. They bounced right back to beat the Pelicans in New Orleans on the road, which was a good one. And then tonight, they played the Rockets with no SGA. Chet fouled out with 8 minutes and 28 seconds to go in the game. Even so, the hottest team in basketball went to overtime with the Thunder, and the Thunder ultimately lose by 6 in overtime. But again, two of your starters down and you're playing the hottest team in basketball, it's a pretty good showing for this squad.
Yeah, I mean, in the dunk, we didn't even talk about the dunk. That's like Geneva Convention is going to add him to that. I mean, holy crap, dude, that was a war crime.
And by the way, if you don't know, you need to find your social medias and search Isaiah Joe, Houston Rockets, Thunder Rocket. Like, go to the Thunder Twitter account. They've got like 8 different angles of Isaiah Joe has one of the coolest posters in the season this year for sure.
Yeah, I'd like legitimately, I would buy it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Was absolutely wild to see. So yeah, I mean, it is a tough road, but again, you don't have SGA, and they're playing. I think the Thunder are going to have to start playing this game. This is what we were talking about a little bit with the Thunder. You're in a good spot for the playoff. Obviously you can't just start resting everybody. You're not in that good of a situation. It's not that late in the season. But I think even like with SGA, it's like you have to start being cautionary with them. You have to, if somebody's dinged up, rest them for a game against a game like the Rockets and potentially take that loss so that you can really push at the end of the season and be in top form at the end of the season. That's kind of where we're at. We're in that little limbo period where you're going to have to start seeing that. So, yeah, the fact that and like I said, that the Rockets have been the hottest team. So,
tonight's win extended them to 10 straight games that they've won, by the way. If you don't know that,
they were nowhere close to being a bubble team in the playoffs, and now they're in that fight. They're in that conversation. Yes. So, I think they're still like two and a half games behind whoever's in, that's in the last spot right now. But I mean, still they were nowhere close to that a month ago. So,
yeah, absolutely. And look, through this stretch of March, tonight was the 13th game for the Thunder in March. Josh Giddey, who we were on here with Troy just a couple weeks ago, who knows better than both of us about basketball. And he was like, look, man, I mean, I love Josh. I think, you know, he's still got some potential to grow, but it's just time to kind of move on. You know, like he was even kind of pushing some trades and different things to do with Giddey at the deadline. And now all of a sudden, through 13 games, Josh Giddey's just on fire. Now tonight, he had a bad night from three-point range tonight. He missed all 3 of his shots. Okay, but he scored 31 points tonight, and he's well over 50% from the field. His 12 games prior to tonight, here's his numbers. He was shooting a perfect, through 12 games, he was perfect from the free throw line. He was shooting 42.9%. from three-point range, and shooting 55.2% from the field, averaging 14.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, and 4.8 assists a game. I mean, that's about as good as you can hope for a guy that's your third or fourth option on your squad, right? And if Giddey continues to play like that, I mean, I think at that point, OKC's got to figure out how to keep him around, without a doubt, but he's also going to help this team push deep into the playoffs. I mean, he has just been on an absolute heater.
Well, and you know, and I was the one, I said, you know, with all the stuff that happened at the beginning of the season and the mental aspect that comes with that, and some of that's, you know, whether you want to say it'll ever be behind him or not, some of that stuff, I think being more behind him, is kind of like starting to get to where he can get back to his true self. I'm hoping so. I hope we get to keep seeing it. I mean, just wild to see how well he's been playing.
Yeah, free, loose. I mean, golly, that was the other one. We talked about the dunk by Joe, but the other night against the Pelicans, the block that Chet had that then turned into Giddy on the break with that nasty spin move to split the double and then just lay it in. I mean, it was an incredible move by Giddy. And I mean, he loves that spin move, but that was nasty. Like that play he made offensively on the break, that's just something we have not seen out of him. If he keeps playing like that, man, it's – dude, I'm telling you, that's huge. But I thought that the Thunder played a good game tonight. I thought they battled. They gave themselves – and this is the kind of stuff you have to do. You're going to have games like this. You would hope that, you know, one of your superstars doesn't foul out, which, by the way, Chet only also played, I think, 11 minutes in the first half because of his foul trouble. So, I mean, literally – you practically played this game without Chet or SGA, really. I mean, throughout this game because of the fouls on him. So overall, great. And Josh Giddey, if you continue to do this through the rest of the month, I apologize for all slander that I have ever said about you or you being on the squad or whatever. It is incredible to watch. And I've said from the get-go, I like him. I want him to succeed. It just did not feel like it was getting there. We'll see. I mean, 13 games in, it's pretty dang good. It's pretty dang good for a 13-game stretch. Thunder continue to lead the West. Well, I say that after the loss tonight, they may actually have dropped in the standings. But even so, they are without a doubt in the top four, still in the Western Conference, giving themselves a chance. They have dropped a third in the West after that loss tonight. Technically they're tied with the Timberwolves for second, but tiebreaker goes to Timberwolves. They dropped to three. They are five games up on fourth, which is the Clippers. So it seems as though they're going to be in the top three seeds, of the West for sure going in. So, just the Thunder continue to be awesome, man. It's fun to watch. I can't wait for playoff basketball in Oklahoma City again. It is going to be wild. Know what I'm not excited about though? An NFL league that has no tackling.
Yeah, I've literally seen nobody. Like, it's really weird when everybody is like, what are you doing?
Here's the problem. Like, I think we can all agree, like, there is that tackle in the league where guys come up alongside somebody and they not only like drop their weight, right, but they kind of roll into their legs, right, and kind of it's almost like catching their legs up underneath them. But dude, the video clips that the NFL chose to use as the examples for this hip drop tackle that's illegal, easily 60 to 70% of them, it's like that's a tackle. Like, what do you want us to do?
So as fans, we have to understand. I understand that they need to do something to protect players, right? Like, there's a difference though between implementing targeting and helmet to helmet contact and horse collars even and things like that, right? Like, I think everybody's fairly on board with all of that,
yeah,
right? But this just feels like it's like, bro, what are we like? It's. I don't even know how to, like,
can we, it's just can gonna... we, like, let's just be honest for a minute. Okay. We both like the contact element of football. And I would say that 9 out of 10 football fans like the contact element. We don't like seeing people get hurt, but we also understand that that's part of the risk. We're not going to stop watching just because someone gets hurt. But here's my other thing. If you're really so concerned about the player and their safety, how about you get rid of the guy coming down at 4-3 with every bit of speed he's got and launching himself straight into someone's knees when they're catching the ball or coming out of the backfield? Like, how about that? You know, like, we are turning into Western culture, right? It's the guy, the tight end guy for Cincinnati that got hurt last year on this hip drop tackle. That now we're going to change the rule and say, well, you can't tackle that way anymore. And since 9 out of 10 times when people dive at someone's legs, it doesn't end in a torn ACL. So we're just going to say that's okay. Like, we're going to let you continue to do that, even though there have been injuries that way. But if you're going to tell me that one or the other of those two tackles is more dangerous, I'm definitely saying launching with your helmet, the crown of your helmet, by definition of targeting, right into someone's knee when they're running full steam ahead is the more dangerous tackle. For for both the defender and the offensive player.
Well, I mean, we have to look at it too as the problem is it's a contact sport. Like, I think this is, like you said, I think we've gone so far, like, where we've gone, we've taken protecting players to a place to where it's like you're literally undoing what the sport is. Like, it's inherently a dangerous sport.
Yes.
Right? Look at the DeMar Hamlin hit. That's not a particularly violent hit. There's nothing illegal about that. And a dude almost died.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you can't hit anybody in the chest now?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the risk that you take playing. And I don't understand the logic behind this. I don't understand. Like I said, no fan is happy about it that I've seen. I've literally have seen nobody. Nobody that's been on the side of this. Players are mad.
Yeah.
And what's funny is what's even funny about it? I've seen offensive players complain about this.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's not just a defensive player. Offensive players who it benefits have come out and been like, dude, this is, what are we doing? And so yeah, I agree with you. It's frustrating. Maybe this is the saving grace of college football, is that they won't ever implement this rule, hopefully. But I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand the logic. I don't understand what the goal is. I don't understand literally any of it. This was one of those things that I thought was a prank when I first saw it. I thought literally somebody posted an April Fool's prank early. I was like, there's no way that this is actually factual. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not happy about it. We'll see. I could see this being undone just out of outcry from people. It's kind of funny because it's like, I remember there was the year that they started doing a lot of these changes and stuff, but there was the year that it was South Park made an episode. I think you watched South Park, but there was an episode where it's like, instead of them playing football, they had a balloon and they all had to wear tinfoil. And if anybody touched each other, then it was a penalty. And it was called Sarcastaball. But that's what replaced football. And it's like, that's kind of where we're headed. Like, it's like weird. Like, South Park is eventually going to become as prophetic as The Simpsons.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm really frustrated about it. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we have to stop reacting to the injury of the higher level player. Right. Because like, even like the quarterback stuff, like what is roughing the passer now? Right. Well, how did those rules get put? Well, somebody jumped and tried to bat a ball down and hit whoever in the head and they got a concussion. So because out of the 75,000 plays that took place in whatever season that was, now, if you even touch a quarterback's helmet, it's roughing the passer. Right.
Well, you can't drive them into the ground and all these other parameters, which that almost triggers me because I'm like, that's what you're taught to do.
Like, well, you want again, to get like if they would be more specific, like the going into the quarterback, grabbing them, lifting them up off the ground, and then when the defensive lineman, like back in the day, used to essentially jump and just drive themselves on top of the okay. We all get that's a dirty play, right? Now, you and I were coached to do those things back in the day. But, like, we get that that's a – like, but going in and just form tackling someone and landing on them should not be a penalty, right?
Like, well, it's tilting so far in the way of offense that it's becoming – like, I'm afraid it's going to become unwatchable.
Yes.
I don't want to see a game that's 77 to even being a fan of OU for years. I don't see a game that's 77-70, right? I don't want it to look like a basketball score. That's crazy. Well,
here's the deal. We want to see 77 to whatever, when we know that the other team actually has the availability to tackle you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we want to see 77 to whatever when the quarterback's not wearing a blue jersey.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we want to see. Like, for instance, we're all going to watch these spring games here in a month. And we're going to go on, and yet quarterbacks are wearing blue jerseys, and you walk away from the game going, yeah, I mean, like, Jackson Arnold looked great, but let's be honest, he's wearing a blue jersey. He wasn't. When that defensive lineman was bearing down on him, he's not scared about that. Not nervous. Like, fling it. You don't even have to look at the guys coming at you. You just keep your eyes on the field, throw, and nothing's going to happen to you. Like, that doesn't give me confidence that Jackson Arnold's great, right? Like, but that's what the actual game is becoming now, is these things. And there's just a lot of things that we could clean up. Like, we all get, like, dirty plays need to be eradicated. Like, the blindside block, as much as small as I am, that's like the only time I ever got to hit somebody like with force in such a way that anything looked good. But, like, I understand why that needs to be gone. Like, we all do. Like, that doesn't need to happen. Like, we get it, right? Like, we get launching at someone with your helmet, why that needs to be gone. Like, we get, like, you cleanly beat the tackle, and as a defensive end, you're bearing down on the quarterback, and you have the choice to either tackle them or to dive straight at their legs. You shouldn't be diving straight at their legs, right? Like, we get that. But that's not what they're taking out. Like, they're literally taking out a guy's being blocked to the ground, and the only option he has is to reach out and grab the quarterback's legs. But now if he does that, it's roughing the passer. Like, what are we doing? You know, like what are we doing? Again, you're jumping to block a pass. And as the quarterback steps through his throw and comes towards you, your face mask nicks his helmet. And now we're roughing the passer because we touched his helmet. Like, I mean, look, J.J. Watt said it best. We are one step closer to just putting belts on everybody and pulling flags.
Yep. So, speaking of, real quick, just to divert us from this negativeness for a little bit, Aaron Donald retired.
Yeah.
And the hardest graphic I ever saw was quarterbacks for Joyce. And I'm like, dude, really, when you think, dude, Aaron Donald was a menace, dude. That guy, I like, the funniest thing was somebody posted a video and they're like, this is Aaron Donald's career, and it's him getting quadruple teamed.
Yes.
Literally quadruple teamed. Like, that dude. Unbelievable. So, just real quick, you know, this little a Hall of Fame worthy career, genuinely seems like a great dude. And just, yeah. So, I'm glad that he got a Super Bowl ring, but wow. But yeah.
Yeah. No doubt.
So, maybe he picked the right one to go because he can't tackle anybody anymore. But yeah,
fact.
Yeah.
But, well, that's all I've got on the news side of anything. Is there anything that else that you had that you wanted to hit, discuss? Make sure we got in there and talked about.
So I have to go find it. My last sports bet before I let, well, not the last sports bet, but a bet I made because I said I wanted to do it while I was there. I'm a big F1 fan, and I placed a $10 bet that Carlos Sainz would win the race, who the previous week was out because he had his appendix removed the previous race. It was like 2 weeks ago. And it came back, and I was like, yeah, but he's been pretty fast this season, whatever. And it was like, Max Verstappen's going to win. Max Verstappen was out in lap 3.
Oh, dang.
Carlos Sainz won the race.
No, he did
not. Yeah. So, I got to go find the ticket. It was a pretty big odds. What sucks is I got to go back to Vegas because I got to go cash it in at Aria. Okay.
So, serious question with that bet being what you think it was, because I know what how about this? Can you tell us what percentage you are up? That way, maybe you don't have to put dollar amounts out there. But do you know, based on what you put on games and what you took home, what percentage up you were for your betting season?
Oh, percentage up?
You said, that makes sense?
Yeah, I would say that I landed 75% of my bets. I'll put it that way. I was well over like the half point. I was well over that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, you saw that one point. I had like a stack of tickets like that.
Day one, you were like winner, 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 winner. You just kept pulling tickets. saying that you'd won. It was ridiculous. Oh my gosh. So
maybe I just need to move to Vegas, be a full-time sports bettor. I don't know.
Apparently. But, I mean, if you can stay on, you're on a Josh Giddey level heater when it comes to that.
Like, can we not compare me to Josh? I mean, I know he was exonerated and all that. Let's just not. Maybe I'm the timeline. Can I be the timeline for once? I'll be the timeline.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, so Carlos Sainz won the race. So that was interesting. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I've got. I've been hooked.
Have you texted Tyler this information?
No, I need to. I don't. He kind of knows F1, doesn't he?
A little, but we were talking about it while we were there.
I'll send a text in our group.
Oh
thing.
My gosh, ridiculous. Okay. Well,
I'll have to see if I've got to find the ticket though. I think it's in my bag. I haven't I literally unpacked all my clothes, but
if
it's
you
like,
lost
I'm sure
that. I like, oh my gosh.
That's no, so I bad. Have it somewhere. So I'll have to see if I can find it. But yeah, man, I had a good time, but no, real quick. I know Troy's not on here. Shogun. If you haven't seen the show, Shogun, really good.
Yep.
And I watched The Three Body Problem on Netflix this week. I've been working. So
interesting.
It's pretty good. It's I read the first book a long time ago. Well, not a long time ago. I read it I shouldn't say a long time ago. It's like two or three years ago. It's pretty good. So a lot of stuff coming out, and I don't know, I'm just excited. Like the weather's springs in the air. I know, is it still cold there? It's still a little cold in Oklahoma, isn't it?
It snowed today.
It snowed. Okay. It's
not heavily. I mean, it didn't, nothing stuck, right? The ground's warm, but there were flurries in the sky for about 30 minutes today, and it is supposed to be 81 degrees on Easter.
Yeah, it is 73 degrees here right now. Let me go look. It's going to be, it's crazy right now. The weather's so beautiful here. I feel bad when I see other people post about it, but yeah, it's been really good. Also real quick, I do want to give a shout out to my boy, the other Jared, lives down here, a big Sixers fan. And I copied him, or I mentioned him in a tweet about, the Isaiah Joe dunk. Cause you know, he was a 76er, and he replied, Doc Rivers will never see heaven. You know how good this man would be on this team. Dude, the Sixers fans hate Doc Rivers, man. No, it's been good, man. I'm glad to get back into it. So hopefully we'll get, when is the spring game? It's what, 2 weeks now?
20th. Yeah. So we're about 3 weeks out.
20th. So 3 weeks. Yeah. So we're going to have a lot to cover between now and then, a lot of recruiting happening.
I love this time of year. I know Troy said like the spring game's really not his thing. And he, like, I love it. I love the spring game. I love seeing.
You know what we didn't even talk about? Didn't even talk about the girls. They did get knocked out of the tournament, but they made it through the first round.
They did.
They get knocked out in the second round, but they played a very tough game.
Yes.
So, man, just there's so much sports going on right now. The gymnastics team's doing good. The softball team's
gymnastics, by the way, setting a record, NCAA record, highest team score ever.
Yeah,
folks,
They might be good.
They averaged on their team literally 0.01 short of 99s across the board for the team. Yeah. That's how they got the score they did. They averaged a 99. That is absurd to do that. Like, I do not want to jinx them, but they have to have injuries, and they better be big injuries for them not to win.
Yeah,
to win the
I
whole
mean,
thing.
It's definitely
crazy.
There's so much fun stuff going on right now. Like I said, F1's back. Softball's going on. College basketball's wrapping up, but we've got NBA. We're going to be right back into the playoffs. And well, playoffs start in about a month?
Yeah. We're 12 games away from being in playoff season.
Yeah. So, man, I'm just
I believe
excited, man. It's a good
April 20th or May 5th, somewhere in there, end of April, start of May, will be playoff season.
Yeah, it's going to be – so it's just a lot of fun. I wish I could go to the spring game. I guess I'll be watching it on – I think it's on ESPN Plus this year.
Yes, it will be.
So, got to check that out. But, yeah, I mean, just exciting time of the year. So – you know, we got to get that. We got to get as much enjoyment as we can in before we get that dead period where we have to wait for football season. Oh, so, Lord.
Yes, yes. And it will be a long period as well. So be interesting. The draft coming up. There's a lot of other things that we can talk about that are all going to be Oklahoma related between Tyler Guyton, where he's going to go in the first round, et cetera, et cetera. So there is plenty to discuss. And honestly, it's our bad to have not mentioned it, but definitely turned out better than what it could have been. But obviously Maryland and our thoughts and prayers as well with all the stuff going on out there with the bridge and stuff. Man, thank God for first responders shutting that bridge down when they did. It could have been a much, much worse situation. So, but man, just a wild, wild time. So all kinds of stuff to discuss and talk. So again, hope you've liked it. Hope this has been something that you have enjoyed listening to. We love getting to do it and talk about it with you. Again, we're hoping to add some extra content, but one of the ways that we do that is by your likes, your subscribes, subscriptions, I should say, subscribes. That was a great word. Your subscriptions, comments, those kinds of things. So put it out there, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the different things, and help us get the word out so we can get some people on this thing for you. So I'm Daryl. That's Jared. We're having a great time. We hope you are too. We will talk to you guys later.
Bye, Baker.
Cha-ching, it's under money ball.
You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the ball.